Okay, I'm going to do my best as long as my throat holds out. So if you have your Siddur with you, we're on page either, I guess, in the Ashkenazim page 21 or in the Sephard page 23. Hopefully you have. And for those, in other versions, it's right after the blessings. We're continuing on. I also sent a picture on the WhatsApp chat earlier today. If you want, you can refer to that. Yes, Roberto.
Just a very quick comment, may I?
Sure.
I just made it on time. I come from the airport from picking up my wife and my daughter from Israel, Tel Aviv,
Whoa.
12-hour flight.
Very
They were
good.
there for the second part of my other daughter's wedding, who went to Tel Aviv because the grandpa is 94 and he might never see them. So they went to honor them and had a kind of part two, right? So thank God, even though the plane was delayed, the rush hour was horrible, but I made it on time to be in the class today.
Baruch
So
Hashem.
just
Baruch Hashem.
a thank God, a good comment.
So I don't know where any of you guys are, but as you can see from my background, I'm sitting on my deck in the back. It's really, really nice out here today. And if it's nice tomorrow, this is probably where we will have tomorrow's meeting. You are welcome to join me if the live here on my deck. If the weather is not nice, we'll probably be in the office where the weather will also be nice. Now that we got everything fixed. Okay, so here I'm going to do my best. So last week, excuse me, here we go. Last week we talked about keeping our eyes open. Why this blessing is of the last blessing that we have removes sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids. Why this one is listed at the end. And we talked about that from the blessings previously, Hashem does do all those things. Hashem does gird Israel with strength and crowns Israel with splendor and gives strength to the weary and gives sight to the blind, clothes the naked. Hashem does do all these things. We just don't always see it. And that's why this final blessing, this final bracha that we have here is that Hashem opens my eyes. I thank Hashem, who also removes sleep from my eyes so that I can have that appreciation for all that, the wonderful and beautiful things that Hashem has given me so that I can recognize it and realize it. So that's what's important. Now, according to many, this is a continuous blessing. That's why you'll find it, especially in the picture that I sent out on the WhatsApp. You'll see, if you don't have it on page either 21 or 23, that it continues. Many people wouldn't even answer amen after the end of this blessing because it goes and there's an and in the end of the second line and removes slumber from my eyelids. And so that it's not the end of a blessing where we would say amen, but and continues on. And that's what I wanted to continue on today. So Hashem helps me realize, wakes me. I remove sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids, and may it be your will. And at the bottom, it tells you who the author of this is, that may it be your will, Hashem, our God, and the God of our forefathers, that you accustom us to study your Torah and attach us to your commandments. Do not bring us into the power of error. Well, I'll go back and explain. Let's just read this paragraph. Nor into the power of transgression. Right? And sin. Nor into the power of challenge. Nor into the power of scorn. Let not the evil inclination dominate us. distance us from an evil person and from an evil companion, sort of like our mission that we're doing now in Pirkei Avot, for those of you, right? Attach us to the good inclination and to good deeds, and compel our evil inclination to be subservient to you, Hashem. Grant us today and every day grace, kindness, and mercy in your eyes and in the eyes of all who see us, and bestow beneficent kindness upon us. Blessed are you, Hashem, who bestows beneficent kindness upon his people Israel. And then, this is the end of the blessing, where if someone says this blessing, he can say amen after this part of the blessing. So let's go back and analyze this blessing. So it begins with, like I said, and may it be your will. And he brings down at the bottom that the reason we talk about may it be your will, Hashem our God, and the God of our forefathers. The reason why we mention them is because I may not be meritorious enough to be able to ask for these things. I'm a simple Jew. I'm a regular guy. I have my own issues, my own shortcomings, and maybe I should not, I'm not worthy of it. So at least if I'm not worthy of it, let me ask in the name of, in the merit of my ancestors. Okay, so that's why very often we will use this opening phrase. Maybe your will and our forefathers. That what? That you accustom us to study your Torah. That becoming in Hebrew, the word that it uses is shetargilene, from the word ragil. Ragil means to be, you know, like you get dressed in the morning. Just matter of fact, that we should accustom us, that we should be accustomed to study Torah and attach us to your commandments. That, in other words, study of Torah and doing Hashem's commandments should be second nature to us. It shouldn't be something that I have to push for, something that I have to strive, make that big effort. You know, sometimes I want a part of my routine. Not that it should become that I'm not even thinking about it. In some things, yes, that there has to be some measure of that it's ragil, that it is, I'm just accustomed to it. There's some people, take my mother, it happened again today. Today's Rosh Chodesh. Happens especially on a day like Rosh Chodesh. She'll daven, she can daven 4 times in the morning, because as soon as she finishes davening, she forgets that she finishes, she turns, it closes the siddur, she opens, she forgets she davens. She goes back. But she's always, did I daven today? Did I daven today? Because for her, davening is just part of, it's like getting dressed. It's ragil, it's natural, it's part of her morning ritual. Daven. I didn't remember if I daven, but it's so important. She'll daven. She does. Daven's many times. I'm telling you, sometimes I walk in, the help calls me and says, she's praying again. I walk next door and literally take the sitter and call. She says, what are you doing? Why are you? You davened already. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. I can see you on the camera. You davened already. You think so? Because it's natural for her. For some people, doing good is natural. And that's a good midah. While we're doing it, we should try and make sure that we do it with intention, of course. Oh, that's great. But even if not, let me at least do the do things. I'll never forget to get dressed. I'll never forget to eat. I may not want to eat. I may purposely not eat, but I won't forget to eat. Nobody forgets to eat. Nobody forgets to drink and drug. I have to think about it. I have to make sure that I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to just forget. So part of life needs to be that it becomes ragil. It becomes just normal. Regular. Routine. At least that part of it. That's what I do. I go to my coffee every morning. What's a morning without coffee? Ha! Must be a morning without coffee is Yom Kippur. because it's my go-to. It's what I do. So that's what he says. That bringing of Torah study and doing Hashem's commandments have to be something that we are just drawn to. Okay, any questions or comments? I can always use a break from my throat. Yes, Elio David, thank you.
I was just going to say something because you said that story. I had a mashpia, like someone who influenced me. His uncle was a Chassidish guy in Montreal, and he suffered at the end from that disease of Alzheimer's. They couldn't get him out of bed. The only way to get him out of bed was to say, it's time for shachris. All of a sudden, he would just pop out of bed and get dressed right away. That was the only way they can get him out of bed. But that's how deeply instilled it is into people, Baruch Hashem. That when everything else fails, they still get connected to Hashem somehow.
Right. I remember when my father, blessed memory, was sick. Very sick. But the one thing is, his hand kept going to, do I have my yarmulke? Do I have my father-in-law as well? Do I have my yarmulke? Do I have my yarmulke? It's like checking to me. It just becomes ragil. It becomes just natural and just the way it has to be for them. Then he continues and he says, do not bring us into the power of error. These next ones go together. So let me say the power of error, the power of transgression and sin, nor into the power of challenge, nor into the power of sin. What does it sound like, Herb?
A little choppy.
Oh, sorry. Plane going. I said, Herb, what does this sound like? This last phrase, into the power of this, do not, into the power of that. What does that sound like to you?
Well, everything connects to recovery.
That's correct. Step one, powerless. We ask Hashem, do not bring us into the power of error or into the power of transgression or the power, meaning that all these things have a power over me. And we're asking Hashem, do not bring us into the power of error or the power of transgression and sin or into the power of challenge or into the power of scorn. Because all these things, once I get in that, if I make a mistake, the power of error. Ever hear the power of error? When a person makes a mistake, so often people go, ah, forget it. No, I'm done. What's the use? I failed. Messed up this time, and a lot of people do. I was speaking to someone today. She spent some time by a family member who's religious and did not have a good experience. And I invited her for Shabbos. She says, no, I'm not coming for Shabbos. Said, why not? She says, well, I had enough. I had enough of the religious. I said, well, first of all, you were by a family member, so that religious or not religious, that already makes a difference. Number two is we're very different here. You know, I don't know what religious observance is where you were, but we can enjoy. And I can tell from her, and she's not coming, and I can tell from her that she was in the power of error because she got caught in that. I just don't want to deal with it. This happened. I don't. And we see that so many people, whether it be error or transgression, I sinned once, so let's sin again. I had one drink, let me have another one. I drank once, I relapsed. Once I relapsed, I might as well said, you know, it's a relapse is a relapse. So I might as well enjoy my relapse, right? Wrong. So we ask Hashem, we do at times to succumb to error or transgression and sin or challenge or scorn. We just ask Hashem that it shouldn't grab a hold of me, that I should be able to withdraw from whatever mistake I've made, and I'll get right back on track. I made a mistake, get right back on track. Just to mention, addiction is a disease of relapse. But the idea is, to hopefully that it's not a relapse and it's just a slip. I slipped. Okay, you slipped. Thank you for your honesty. You slipped. Now it's time to get back on track. And some people are of the mind, no, you know, once I messed up, it's like, forget it. And that's unfortunate. So that's why these four things go together. Step one of the program, admitted that I was powerless. This is it. Do not bring us into the power of error. Step one of the program right here. Yes, Eliyahu David.
That is the exact problem with rigidity. When you're brought up in a system that's so rigid that when you make a mistake, you feel you're worthless. So you might as well continue making tons of mistakes. To heck with the whole thing. God hates me. Everybody hates me. I'm not worthy anymore. And you talk yourself into these things. My whole mission in life today is to understand that there is no rigidity, that you always come back. You always do the next right thing. And you don't concentrate on the, what do you call it, the negative. So that's, it's unfortunate, but I think it was the last generation or so.
Very good. So I want to tell you, today I had my class over. Where's Brian? Oh, there he is. I had my class over today, my eighth grade class, just one of the classes, over for a barbecue. I made a Siyum end of the year barbecue. Right here on my porch. That's why I'm still sitting here. So, Brian, thank you again for coming out. We had Chef Brian, who made the hot dogs and hamburgers. There's one kid in particular who was the absolute worst. the entire year. Sending him out of class. Yesterday was my finals, math finals. Making jokes. Ha, la, la, la. Oh, what's 9 times the, you know, is 9 times 4 to the third power? Could that answer be, look in the middle of the, and I said, yesterday, that's it. You get a 0, hand in your thing, didn't complete, and don't come to the barbecue. Was yesterday, a whole year, and he had written me apology letters. We've been in the principal's class, and meetings with the parents. You name it, we've done everything. The kids need help. Kids needs help. Just didn't get to it. I don't know why they didn't put him in a special class. Whatever, not for now. Today, in the afternoon, I think yesterday I was serious when I said. And don't come to, like, I was, of all times, right in the middle of the finals, and he could tell out the answer in the middle of the finals, whatever it is that he did. I sent the message to the principal today, and I said, tell him to come to the barbecue. And he came. And he asked for forgiveness. And it was good. And that's correct, Eliyahu David. There's there are times, it's sometimes it's real easy to get caught up in that power of challenge or power of scorn. And the kid was a terrible kid, at least from, you know, he's a happy-go-lucky, blah, 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 whatever. But the most disruptive that I've had, and just couldn't keep him quiet. Like I said, didn't belong. Maybe that's the school's issue for just sending it back to my class. I don't want him anywhere. It's just disturbing the rest of the class. That's not for here. Not now. But the thing is that I called him today and they said, you know what? You should come. Because I had to teach him the same thing that Leo Dove just said. I felt it was a bigger lesson for me to have him come to the barbecue so he could learn that there is no rigidity in that way. Who am I? What am I? Judge? My God? To make such up? Mm-hmm. Okay. That happened. Anyway, Penny, go ahead.
Complete refuah shlema to you, Rabbi. I hope you feel better soon.
Thank you. Just my voice. Just all I need is a voice box.
Okay. Maybe it sounds worse than what it is.
Yes.
Okay. So that picture that you posted, I started reading the first couple lines and I said, that's what I say every night in my siddur. Now, my siddur is the complete art scroll siddur. I love what you posted. I will pray more. I will dub in more when I say this at night. May I see the book that's in? And it looks like I have to get that.
It's the art scroll, the same art scroll.
So why is that different?
Well, let me see your book. Hold up your book to your camera.
Okay, hold on.
Let me see what you have. Yeah, so look at page 21.
You see it?
Yeah, look at page 21.
21?
Yeah.
Oh, I go to 289.
289?
Yeah, it's the Shema.
Yeah, that's the Shema. That's what you say. It's a little bit different at nighttime. We're waking up in the morning. You know, morning still.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at saying at night. That's what I say at night.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, I see. Here it is. Okay, this is the morning?
Yes. Morning is on top of the page.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And I just want to say a comment. I understand what you just said, your experience with your student. However, if I said that, something like that to my son, and you can't have the car tomorrow or whatever, and I then go back on my word and, oh, mom, can I have it? That doesn't work. So what's the difference? Now, if I give him my car tomorrow, that's no good.
Excellent question. Excellent, excellent question. The answer, my response would be, is that this was the last day of school. I kept my word the entire year. Whatever suspensions there were, you had to keep detentions, extra work that he had to do. There was no going back on that. But the end of the year finale, that I felt that there was at least parts of the year, however minor they may have been, that he was good, very minor, very minor. But from that perspective, I felt that to end off where we part ways, to part ways amicably. Because I figured that in life, what I talked about, Brian was there, no one knows when paths may cross in life again. You know, he may one day become this great doctor and I might need his services. And he goes, you're the teacher of the dead. No, not because, not from because I need it. No, I'm saying it from that perspective. I'm just saying that the consequence is a little bit different because it's the last day. So there is no further, anything further beyond it. Where a parent and a child is always an ongoing relationship.
God willing, yes, it's ongoing. So now I know. Okay, thank you very much. And Howie Mandel was the most disruptive student. I went to school, middle school and high school with him. And he was the most disruptive student in the whole school.
Okay.
There you go.
Very good. Okay, thanks for sharing.
At least they asked forgiveness.
That's correct. That's correct. Leo, David.
Yeah, so I was going to say, one situation is an act of forgiveness. The other situation is an educational issue. But I wanted to also say something else, that this rigidity also takes away trust in Hashem. I remember a few days ago, somebody said, I believe in God, but I don't trust him. I don't know if you remember that that was my attitude several years ago as well. The more religious, in fact, the more religious you are, the easier it is not to trust him, because you think the whole time God is here to punish you. You don't realize that God is here to give you what you need, and it's irrelevant. It's not irrelevant to who you are, but your relationship with him is one of a creator to a creation, and you have to trust in him, and you have to ask him. You can't make his cheshbonos. You don't make his calculations. You turn to God, and you trust him, and you believe that he has forgiveness. And it talks about God forgiving the people and being patient with the people and waiting for the people to repent, to return to them. But for some reason, we all have this pursuit of perfection, especially the more religious, the more practicing you are, somehow we get this warped perception of perfection that God, but we're not perfect. We're not supposed to be perfect. We're supposed to keep trying. Anyways.
That's correct.
Thank you
for that. Very good. Thanks for sharing. Denise.
I was just going to say about the boy, the natural consequence, of course, is that he failed math, right? So, like...
That's correct. Very good.
It's two totally different things, and I agree with what you did today, because you probably acted out in your anger a little bit yesterday, Rabbi, and today you had time to think about it, and you weren't so angry, and you changed your mind. And I think even for me, you may have come to it quicker than me, but even praying to Hashem over that, most of us would always get the answer to invite that student, like retract what you said and invite him over. So,
right.
That's it.
Very good. Thanks for sharing. I don't think it was out of anger. With him, it was, and for the most part, I try and make it measured and controlled as much as I can. I don't think it was out of anger. It really was. I remember even the process, thinking about it as the words were coming out of my mouth. Is this too harsh or is this not too harsh? And I also figured that if I said no, I can always invite him to come. If I don't take it away right then and there to think about it later and then say, no, I don't want you to come, because I think that would have been even worse. So all these processes went through my head to the point where I thought the best thing was to give him the message of how the anger doesn't have to come from me, but he needs to know what he did was really enough that I would disinvite him. But you're right, the mark he'll get on his test that will go to his parents is zero. And that's enough. Yes, Tracy.
I also, what Denise said, what I heard was, again, the lesson is greater and more productive down the road in kindness. Again, it wasn't 100%. You're still recognize he still has to accept that zero for that behavior, but that will go along the your actions and that kindness of including him, which is going to go a long way, I think. I hope so, you know, but it certainly would go a lot longer than the other way, I think. It certainly, you know, so the lesson in kindness, I think, is as you said, it's a good thing. And as far as like what Eliyahu said about not trusting, the things about rigidity, those things are from humans. That rigidity comes from humans. That rigidity does not come from Hashem. And Hashem is not, you know, Hashem loves us. Even when he's, you know, he wants to, you know, he's fed up with us, but he still loves us. And he's going to punish us, but he still loves us. Now, I always think, you know, the rigidity is not Hashem. The rigidity is us frail humans. And that's where it comes from. So, and that's a hard lesson. That's also a hard lesson to learn. Anyway, great lesson. Thanks.
Very good. Thanks for sharing. So there's a difference. It's a philosophical concept, which I don't know if I really want to get into now. It'll come up in a later blessing, but it's philosophically, one needs to think, what is the difference between rigidity and justice? When a judge says you're guilty and fine, you were speeding, you're fine, guilty. Is that being rigid or is that justice? What the difference is? We can have a class about that or send it in as a question next week or something. I haven't gotten questions in a long time, so we're moving on. But very good. Okay, so now we continue with this blessing. In the middle of that blessing, let not the evil inclination dominate us. But you see, if you don't ask, you're not going to get. So we have to at least ask Hashem for help with the evil inclination. Right. He shouldn't have any, what does he say? Yeah, domination, I guess. Shlita. Good word. That the evil inclination should not dominate us. I think we talk about the evil inclination enough here that everyone should understand what these words mean. Pretty straightforward. The Yetzer Hara, when it says dominate us, means we live with the Yetzer Hara. There's nothing we can do about that. The Yetzer Hara is not going anywhere. The Yetzer Hara will reside within each and every single human being. That's what drives us off the road, off our journey. We're trying to I'm trying to go to Montreal, I'm trying to head east, and then all of a sudden my steering, because my alignment is off, my steering just has me off. That's the Yetzer Hara. Oh, there's a casino. Oh, let me get off at the exit. How do I get off at the exit? I'm going to Montreal. No, that's north. But yeah, the casino is north. Yeah. So that's the job of the Yetzer Hara. We're never going to get rid of it. It's always going to be a part of us. The only question is, we're asking Hashem to not have the evil inclination dominate us. It'll be there. It'll tell me, let's go to the casino. And I got to go. No, thank you. With a smile, by the way. If you frown back, no, I'm not going to the casino. It's a horrible go. Got him now. That's how, because then you get angry, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. But if you smile back at your whatever desire, drug of choice is, and you smile back on it, not now. Much better chance that you'll be able to overcome it. So
Rabbi, I have one quick question, and it might not be for now. So let me know if it's not for now. Will the Yetzer Hara be around in Olam Haba, or do we not have to worry about being?
He will not.
Okay, thank you.
Well, good question. Let the evil person distance us from an evil person and an evil companion. And it's interesting. So this is what we've been talking about on Sunday in Pirkei Avot, right? A shachin ra, or this one, it's an adam ra and a chaver ra. Don't hang around bad people. So this girl that I was speaking to earlier in the day, who I invited for Shabbos, who declined, I said, I'm just gonna, stay here by myself. I said, so you're isolating. She goes, yeah. And she starts the conversation as follows. your ears must be ringing. I called her out of the blue. I haven't spoken to her in a while. Your ears must be ringing. So, I said, actually, I've been meaning to call you for a while, but why? Yeah, I was just talking about you. She says to me, I've just been talking about you yesterday. What's up? I was speaking to so-and-so and telling him, he's got to go back. You have to go back to Rabbi Heshi's classes. I said, yeah, that's right. As an addict, she's friends with him. You have to go back to Rabbi Heshi's classes. Fine. So then later in the conversation, so she says, yeah, I'm going to isolate here. I said, well, you should come to Rabbi Heshi's classes. You should, you're telling this addict to go to classes. Why don't you, follow through? Oh, it's a little different. I said, no, he's an addict. I said, it doesn't matter. Depression and self-isolation is also an addiction. People just withdraw. It's also, what do you think we, and so what does that do? What good does that do for you? She said, not much. So I told her, you should come for Shabbos. Yeah, but Shabbos, blah, blah, blah. I said, look, you come on Stormont Avenue. Wonderful place to be on for Shabbos. You hang around good people. Good things happen. You hang around bad people or difficult people or no people. You're not gonna, good things won't happen. Won't happen. Hang around good people, right? Baruch lives in the neighborhood. Brian lives in the neighborhood. Penny lives in the, Penny knows what it's like to leave my house and be swarmed by, where's Penny? And be swarmed by some of them were my students actually. And leaving my house after a Wednesday class. I think Sandy was there also. You're in the hood. The hood has an impact, a positive impact. So that's what he says, distance us from an evil person, an evil companion. And on the flip side, we ask Hashem, attach us to the good inclination and to do good deeds and compel our evil inclination to be subservient to you. So let's take one at a time here. Attach us to the good inclination. Just like we have a bad inclination, we also have within us a good inclination. So I ask you, my friends, I'm going to do something bad. I've made that decision. That's it. I'm angry at the world. Whatever. I'm angry at the world. I'm going to now do my drug of choice. Where's my good inclination? My evil inclination is like, yay! This is about this. It's great. Where's my good inclination? For the most part, we have move the good inclination off to the side, saying, I'm not interested in you. That's what this girl was saying to me about coming for Shabbos. Not interested, pushing me away, no, it's okay, I'll stay here where I am, where I live, and I'm going to isolate. So where's the good inclination? Pushed it away. So we ask Hashem to attach us. This is a standard prayer, by the way. This is what I say every single morning. Attach us to the good inclination. Maybe it should say to reattach us. It means to be connected to. The actual translation is really and make sure that we are connected to the good inclination and to good deeds, and compel our evil inclination not to be subservient to me, because I don't have the power. If I think I'm going to be stronger than my evil inclination, forget it, I lose. That's the power we talked about in step one. But the Yetzer Hara needs to be busy. No problem, Yetzer Hara. I got somebody, a busy partner for you. Go try and deal with God. So we ask him, Hashem, let the evil inclination be subservient to you. So this way, he's not going to come and bother me, we hope. And we end this blessing by saying, and then I'll take questions and comments, grant us today and every day grace, kindness, and mercy in your eyes and the eyes of all who see us, and bestow beneficent kindness upon us. What a beautiful prayer. What an absolutely beautiful prayer. That Hashem should grant us grace, kindness, mercy, not only in your eyes, Hashem, but also in the eyes of all who see us, so that we can have a relationship. If somebody thinks ill of me, that I'm a bad person, not likely we're going to have a relationship. If someone thinks that I'm a nice guy, if I call them up and they think I'm a terrible person, I'm telemarketing. I want to sell you duct cleaning. Yeah, I don't want to talk to you. Hang up. Click, click. Anybody here need their ducts cleaned? Click. But if I'm calling up, you know, how are you doing? I want to know about worrying about you. Okay. Even if they're not in the mood, like even this girl who I spoke to today, she was really not in the mood. She really just wanted to isolate, go away. But she took my call. And for that, I was grateful. At least we spoke. I don't know if the word is she was so necessarily introverted, but certainly very isolating, hurting and isolating. But she took my call. And that's what I ask Hashem. The grace, kindness in the eyes of all who see us, so that they'll take my phone call, so that maybe I can be a positive influence on someone else. What an absolutely beautiful, beautiful prayer. Yes, Leo David.
I just find it a little strange that the tefillah goes that the Yetzer Hara should be subdued to his will. The Yetzer Hara is subdued to his will. The Yetzer Hara is a malach who was given a job to tempt us. So he's doing his job. That is God's will. So it's just a little strange that we're saying he should, it's like he's separate. He's not separate. He's one with God. He's doing his job. He's working for him. So that's why it's just a little knaich, a little strange to me. Because we don't have a devil in Judaism. The devil doesn't play cards and make deals with God for trades. Anyways.
I'm not sure what part is actually bothering you.
It's not so much that it's bothering me. The way I've come to terms with it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a malach that has a job to come and tempt me in order for me to get more reward.
That's correct.
Very good. So now I That's know correct. He has no interest. He actually doesn't want me to listen to him. He doesn't That's want correct. Me to go. He doesn't want me to go against Hashem. But his job is to do what he has to do. That's
correct. And that's why on Yom Shishi, Vihine Taiv Ma'id is the only day in creation in Genesis and in the 6 days of creation where God saw that everything was good. The only time it says that, and it was very good, Vihine Taiv Ma'id was on day 6, and The Talmud teaches us that the extra good refers to the evil inclination. That through the evil inclination, we are able to have a, as Brian was saying today, a test. Not a test. A challenge. Not a challenge, but an opportunity to do Hashem's will.
Right.
But we...
So it's always been a confusing thing that we daven that the Yetzer Hara should bother us. At the same time, that's exactly what God wants. So it's like...
Yes, that's correct. So I understand. Very good. Excellent. But we're asking Hashem that basically what we're saying in this blessing is that we are asking Hashem that we should only be challenged by the Yetzer Hara, by the evil inclination on that of what we are able, we feel that we are able to overcome.
Okay. You said something there. You said we feel, because Hashem never gives us a test that we can't overcome. So
that's true.
That's what we see from Abdullah.
Right. And this is where we ask for it.
Right.
This is where I have to recognize, where I recognize in myself that Hashem never gives me a challenge that I cannot overcome.
So that's a twist on the way you were saying it. Yeah, fine.
That's correct.
All right. Thank you so much.
I was going to say maybe that that he gives me the opportunity to yes, the Yetzer Hara is supposed to give us a challenge. You know, it will always challenge us, and Hashem is going to make sure that He challenges us. That we believe, it's almost like that we believe that we can handle the challenge. That's the other thing. Because a lot of times we don't believe we can handle the challenge, and that's where we get into trouble. So it's almost like praying for the patience for the wisdom to know the difference. Is like,
right.
Hashem, give me the opportunity, give me the, you know, may I have the ability to believe that I can handle whatever challenge you're giving me. That you know I can handle it, but let me believe that I can handle it.
Right. So that's what Elio David was saying, that it seems like since we know that Hashem won't give us a challenge that we cannot handle, why are we asking for it? So I replied by saying, this is where I remind myself that Hashem won't give me a challenge that I can't handle.
No, I just said it in different words for myself.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, thank you.
And the end of the blessing is, blessed are you, Hashem. Because it's the end of the blessing, we don't go Elokeinu Melech Olam, God of the God of the universe, who bestows beneficent kindness upon his people, Israel. And I want to be part of it. I'm on the bandwagon. And therefore, I'm hoping, grant us today and every day, what if you spend the time, I don't know how long to read the words, 30 seconds, 45, I mean, obviously, every little thing that you do adds up. But take one prayer at a time. Take one section at a time. This week or this month, I'm going to focus on this. Or maybe it becomes a little too repetitive for you. So next tomorrow or the next week, or on Mondays, I do this paragraph. On Tuesdays, I say them all, but I focus more on them. But I get to pray. And I focus something on that. Then we begin to see how beautiful some of these prayers are. And then I hope it inspires questions to come up. One second, Rabbi, I've been reading this paragraph. What does this paragraph mean? Why does it say these words to them? Now, maybe the translation Hebrew to English, whatever it is, there's a reason for it. But typically, sometimes you may come up with a very, very good, valid question that I need to answer. And that's important. That's dialogue. That's learning from each other. Going both ways. So read the paragraph. And as you read it, I'm sure the more and more you read it, because there are parts that I read every day, and every day I challenge myself, what does this mean? Just the other day, I thought, why didn't they ever think of that? Something was bothering me, but why didn't they ever think of that? It's good. Yes, Ilya David.
So it's funny because I feel bad because davening takes me an hour every day and I always want it to take longer, but I can't no matter what I do. I even add things. I add tilling and all kinds of things. And for some reason, it still takes an hour. But I am conscious lately. I've become self-aware, let's put it that way, of what I'm saying. And all of a sudden, the passage will jump out at me. And I will realize, wow, I didn't see that before. I didn't understand it before. So that is a very nice thing to, in the middle of davening, to be able to have a realization, a self-realization of what some of the passages mean.
I'll just make an observation on your point. My observation, Elio David, is that the more you connect to davening, the happier you are as a person. When you end up in these days that you're in a rut, you're in a bad place, whatever, my sense is that your davening was not as conscious, to use your word, as it sometimes is.
Yeah, it definitely helps to be in a positive place when I daven. And I learned for an hour before davening to get to that positive place. Anyways, thank you.
Very good. Thanks for sharing. We got a record. Every box, everyone's lit up. That's beautiful. I can see everyone now. There's no one hidden down. Beautiful. Sandy.
I like what you said earlier about making that phone call to the individual, because I think that when one loses the connection, it's like losing your Wi-Fi. You know, you don't know what to do. All of a sudden, you're frantic, and you can't do anything without Wi-Fi if you want to research on whatever, the internet. And, you know, it's really hard for some people because they don't have that faith. They don't have that connection. And so they're really missing out so much. So what you said, you put yourself out to give an invitation, drop a thought, give an idea, and hopefully that will come down to something for that individual. Maybe not today or tomorrow, but maybe it'll resonate somewhere down the line. And I think that we have to hold each other very carefully and very preciously, because you don't know who is suffering, who doesn't have the connection, and we don't know how they come about to come back into believing and having a connection with Hashem. It's quite a topic. Thank you.
Yep. Very good. Always, and that's why. Try saying this paragraph. Try saying the blessings in the paragraph, and see. You know, at the beginning, you might focus a lot on it because it's the beginning, which very often we do. We get something new, you get a new car, you get a new stove, you get a new whatever it is. It's the beginning is always. Then it sort of like backs off and then sort of like comes back from a different perspective. That's good. All right. I'm at 8:26. Anyone else? Final question, comment? All right. I want to thank everyone for joining. Excuse me. We're back here tomorrow night, weather permitting. Happy to be in my backyard. Maybe we'll have some goodies for those who come for 7:15. A little treat to eat before the class. That weather permitting, it'll either be either here at my home or not weather permitting in the Chai Center. And with that, Baruch Hashem, my voice kept up. I want to tell you something amazing.
You're still recording, Rabbi, just so you know. Yes, good.
Yes, thank you. I want to tell you something amazing. So Brian is at my house. Is at my house today. Everyone knows Brian needs a refuah shlema. Not feeling well. He's here. He's out at this hot barbecuing, doing an unbelievable job. The food was absolutely delicious, but then he wasn't feeling well. And he had to sit down, and I was actually like, he was very pale. And I was, as I was speaking, I was actually concerned. And then he had to go lie down just over here. I have a swing here. I have to lie down. And then, you know, 20 minutes later or so, sits up. One of the boys wanted to ask Brian a question. So the boys turned back and asked Brian. The question was, why did you merit being in the rabbi's class or something like that? And it was so interesting to watch Brian. Where all of a sudden, he started talking, had coming this energy, and Brian's making the motions already. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, his energy, he's like, and he's talking and he's answering. And I started getting concerned, like, Brian, are you okay? Like, maybe you want to take it. I didn't say anything, but he just kept on going. And it was so, and by the time you can see, Brian was like invigorated in talking about class, talking about the Torah. It was amazing to see the dress. I'm telling you, I've seen sick people. I was going to call Hatzalah. That's how concerned I was. And then all of a sudden, he just like piped out. So Hashem, Baruch Hashem, my voice also like kept in. Every time when I see, you know, you guys here at the Chai Center, it also invigorates me. So I thank you all for being here, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Mm-hmm.